Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Let's try that again. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hey, y'all acting like this is a holiday or something. Everybody's chilling. It's going to be a great day. It is a great day. And God is good, and we're glad you're here. So why don't you just take a second, tell the person beside you, I love you, you're looking good, you're awesome, you're incredible. Awesome. You know, I'm a guy that likes, like, I like energy. Energy's good. You got to feel that, you got to get up in the morning, put your feet on the floor, take off, say it's going to be a great day. And sometimes we forget how great God is, and we understand how amazing he is. It's really fuel for our life when we recognize how great God is. And we get this opportunity to get up every day and be who God created us to be. And that is so amazing. Isn't that amazing? Awesome. Thank you. I'm glad we got that one little clap back there in the back. Hey, before I get started, I just want to talk about how thankful I am for our nation. And it's what an awesome nation we live in, what a great country. And tomorrow's Memorial Day. And I don't want it just to be another day that we go burn something on the grill. But I want us to think about really the lives, the people who've given their lives so that we could have the freedom even to do what we're doing right now. And oftentimes we just we get caught up if it don't affect us personally. In other words, if it's not someone directly connected to us, we forget about how blessed we are. And that somebody paid a price for that. Somebody gave their life for that. Somebody died so that we could have life and we could come and worship together. We could even do what we're going to do tomorrow together. Whatever we do every day in life to get up and go to work and to have jobs and to have freedom. What an amazing thing. So I want to just take a second. And I want to just pray over those families that tomorrow will not be just another day, but it will be a day that they'll have pain and they'll remember. So can we pray over them right now? Father, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your kindness to us. And we are still one nation under God. And Lord, you have blessed us, Lord, beyond our wildest dreams. You've given us grace and mercy. You've poured out abundance upon us. We're living in the blessings of God. But we thank you, Lord, for all the men and women who've paid a price so that we might have life, this life of freedom, who've fought for our freedom, who've given their life for our freedom, who've died, shed their blood so that we can enjoy the life that we have. And so tomorrow, God, there could be many people that are hurting. We just pray, Lord, for perfect peace upon these families. We pray, God, that your heart would touch theirs. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless them indeed with your goodness and with your mercy and with your presence. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's remember the Murray family also. The Murrays are a big part of our house. And Keith's mother had surgery this past week, and they thought she was on the mend and then found out yesterday morning that she had passed away. And so let's just keep them in our prayers throughout this week. I am super stoked about the goodness of God and all that we have privilege and access to. And I don't think that we really understand. I don't think we really comprehend how great God is in our life. And I don't know that we can comprehend it, to be honest with you. I don't know that we have the ability to truly comprehend how great God is in our life. He's so good to us. He's so amazing. He's so, I just don't have the words to say. I want to try today to pick up where I left off on Sunday, and I did something last night on the way home from Shreveport. This weekend was my mother's 80th birthday. We celebrated on Friday, and then my brother got married last night. It was driving home last night, and I never listened to myself preach. But last night, I listened to what I preached last Sunday because I thought there were some amazing things that God spoke through me. How many know that sometimes God says things to you you wouldn't even dream of saying, but it's, you know, then you're just a donkey, you know, and that God's just using you. So I went back and listened. I don't like to listen to myself because it's bad enough to go home on Sunday afternoon and my family sit around the table and make fun of all the things I say wrong. But it's worse when you listen to yourself and make fun of yourself. Like, you are so country sounding, boy, you know. But as I was listening to the message, there was this particular part that I really felt like God just downloaded to us. And that is that who we are and in the place that we're living and the season that we're living. That it's not coincidental that we're living in this now time, in this present time. And all my life I've heard preachers say, this is the greatest time ever to be alive. But honestly, this is the greatest time to be alive. And this is the greatest opportunity for you. When I was speaking last week, I talked about how God put us in this dispensation for this time, for this season, is that God didn't make us Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because he needed Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for that dispensation, but he created us for this time and this season of life. Yeah. And that it's not accidental that you're living right now. That wasn't just an idea or an accident that happened because mom and dad decided to have a baby. This is kind of interesting, and that I said this last week, that God chose Mary to be the mother of Jesus. But God also chose your parents, or if you are a parent, for you to be the parent, or you're the child of a parent, that he chose them for this season to nurture and raise up you for this moment. That wasn't coincidental. It's more than just DNA. It's more than just having a baby. It's God's plan. And I love Rick Warren says, there are no illegitimate children. There's no such a thing as an illegitimate child. That every child that's born is born for the purpose of the kingdom for the now time. Now, here's the deal. If we can get a hold of this today and understand who we are, it changes our whole perception of how we live because we don't just get up and exist throughout the day. We're not just merely just getting up and going throughout the day trying to survive this moment that I live in. But we wake up and say, okay, I was created for this day. And this day, God will use me for his purpose and for his glory. I know who I am. Somebody mentioned to me after last service, says, it's good to know where we're going. I said, but here's more importantly. Before you can really know where you're going, you got to know who you are or where you're at. A GPS is able to tell you where you're going because it already knows your location. So when I know who I am and what I'm created to be and what God put me on this earth for, it automatically puts me in position to know where I'm going. But if I don't know where I am or what I'm here for, then I wonder. Not only do I wonder in my mind, but I wonder. I'm just wondering, just trying to figure it out. But when I know who I am, to who I belong, then no longer do I wonder, but I walk in authority. So God put us on this earth for his purpose, for his glory, and he has positioned us to be world changers. In 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 17th verse, it says, "Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch nothing that is unclean, and I will embrace you. And I will be a true father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Yahweh Almighty. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord." When I was a young man growing up in church, I heard that preached a lot, but it was basically preached very wrong. It was preached from the idea of coming out from among them had more to do with how we looked or what we did than who we are. It's kind of funny because this is not so much today, but, you know, years ago, because I hate to say, getting older. But years ago, you could walk into a restaurant. We used to go to Piccadilly on Sunday. Everybody know what Piccadilly even is? Come on, go through Piccadilly. Go through the line. Get you some food. And so some good old home-cooked groceries. And so we'd go through Piccadilly, and we'd sit down in the restaurant, and we knew, like, okay, they go to the Baptist church because we could tell the way they look. They went to the AG church, and they're definitely Pentecostals, and they don't go to church at all. Everybody remember those days? You kind of, because what we did in those, what religion did is it made us cookie cutters. So we all had the same uniform on. We all looked the same. Somebody's laughing. I hear somebody laughing because you know what I'm talking about. And so we thought, like, so every church and every denomination would preach this passage of Scripture. Come out and be you separate. Be Baptist. Come out and be you separate. Be whatever. Pentecostal or be Church of God in Christ. We had all of these ideas of what that meant when honestly it doesn't mean any of those things. The separation that's being spoken about there has nothing to do really with the way you look, but it's what you carry. I want everybody to say, I'm a carrier. I carry the presence of God. When I come out from among them and I become separate, I become a carrier of the presence of God, and that very presence separates me from the world. That's why he says, don't touch any unclean thing. You've been set apart holy unto the Lord. Keep your life pure because you're a carrier of the presence of the Holy One. You are a son and you are a daughter of God. So oftentimes, even in church, we live like orphans because we don't know who we are. I believe that when we understand who we are, God moves us from the idea of a home of the orphanage, and he moves us into the palace because we know that we're king's kids. And that we carry the very presence of God. We carry his authority. We carry his seal. He has marked us for this purpose. And it's not so much how we look, but it's what we carry with us. And so we carry his holiness with us. We carry his purity with us. We carry his anointing with us. We carry his righteousness with us. We carry healing with us. We carry the very presence and the very essence of God with us. We're sons. So we're set apart to be kingdom kids, to walk and to live and to act and to have the very things that we inherit or that are part of our lineage is given to us. In Acts 17, 24, it says, "The true God is the creator of all things. He is the owner and the Lord of the heavenly realm and the earthly realm. He does not live in a man-made temple." He does not live in a man-made temple. So we are carriers of the presence of God. The presence of God is not confined to the four walls of this building or the square footage of this building. But the presence of God is in us. So where we go, His presence goes. Where we live, His presence live. We carry His presence. The religious world attend church, but God's sons and daughters become the church. It's very important that we understand that I walk in the Spirit of God. I live in the Spirit of God. I am, this almost sounds, if you have a religious mind, this almost sounds like blasphemy. I am the presence of God. But if you know who you are, you know that the I am is in me and I am the presence of God. That is really good. Verse 25, He supplies life and breath and all things into every living being. He doesn't lack a thing that we mortals could supply for Him, for He has all things and everything He needs. Verse 26, For one man, Adam, He made every man and every woman and every race of humanity, and He spreads us over the earth, and He sets boundaries of people and nations, determining their appointed times in history. When I read that the other day, I got all excited. Let me tell you why I got excited, because I preached that last Sunday, and then this week I read that. I was like, oh, yeah, that solidifies what I said. Don't you love when God gives you a verse to prove what you preached last week was true? It's in this moment, in this time, that He has created us for this purpose. I love how it says that too. He sets the boundaries of people and nations, determining their appointed time in history. It's right now at this moment that God has placed me on this earth to do the thing that He's called me to do. Verse 27. He has done this so that every person would long for God and feel their way to Him and find Him. And He is the God who is easy to discover. He's not hard to find. He's not hard to find. I was with someone this week, and they said, like, I don't know the will of God. What's the will of God for my life? I said, let me simplify the will of God. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. It's not that hard. Love God, love people. Love the Lord God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. Here's the problem. A lot of times we don't get grab a hold of that verse, love the Lord God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself, because we don't love ourselves. And the reason we don't love ourselves is because we're still orphans. We still have an orphan spirit, and we don't know who we are. We don't know who God has designed us to be. And so we're very critical of ourselves. And we don't love ourselves. The truth is when we know who we are and what we're called to do and what our purpose is, we fall in love with ourselves. And you said, well, that don't sound right. But if you don't love yourself, you can't love others the way God has called you to love them. This is not a selfish kind of love. This is an understanding kind of love. I know who I am. I know who my daddy is. I know my purpose on this earth. I know what I'm called to do. I walk with confidence because I'm not wondering. Verse 28. It is through Him that we live and function and have our identity. Just as your own poets have said, our lineage comes from Him. It is in Him that we live and we move and we have our being. It is in Him that we move. It's Him that we live and we function and we have our identity. My identity is not lost in a worldly concept. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. I'm separated from the world because I know who I am. I know what I carry. So I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. My identity is not caught up, and I don't want to say this arrogantly, and I don't want you to take it arrogantly or about me or yourself, but there really should be this place that we really don't give a flip what other people think about us. Amen. Not in a way that we're arrogant, that we can't take good instruction, Not that we can't take some godly criticism, but that we don't become so caught up in what other people think that we don't know who we are, so we don't know who we were created to be. And so we are man pleasers instead of God pleasers, and we become puppets to the world instead of obedient to the Spirit. God didn't call us to be puppets to the world, and he didn't call us to be just going through life trying to make sure that everybody around us likes us. He called us to be obedient to the Spirit. And here's what I found out. People that know who they are in Christ are usually loved. So it's the devil's deception to get you to be a man pleaser, because as long as you're trying to be a man pleaser, there's always somebody that's not going to like you. There's always somebody that's going to be critical of you. There's always going to be somebody that's trying to reform you or change you or make you like them. Ooh, a little download here. The reason they want you to be like them is they don't know who they are. That's a good word. And so they're trying to figure out what their identity is. And so they have these little pockets of things. And you know what? Sometimes we probably, those little pockets look like cliques. And in actuality, they're just people trying to self-identify. But when we come into the knowledge of who we are in Christ, we really walk in a freedom of loving everybody no matter what they think. And most people love us. Because it's a godly love. And we walk out this whole identity of knowing, I know who I am. And I am an heir to the throne room of God. I'm a son, and I'm a daughter. So we're called into this world. God called us to this moment, into this world. It's so amazing that God would trust us today in this world. He called us into this place. Tony, he called you into this moment, at this hour. And he puts you on the radio so everybody knows your voice. We think those are, some of those things we think are just coincidental. No, they're not coincidental. God puts us in position because he's anointed us for a purpose, and he gives us a platform, and that platform can look different in all kinds of different ways because God is not singular. He's multifaceted. And he puts us into this platform so that we can touch lives in different places of life. And sometimes we get caught up in what we do becomes our identity. I'm a doctor, so that's my identity. I'm a nurse, that's my identity. I'm a lawyer, so that's my identity. Whatever. I'm a garbage man, so that's my identity. When I was growing up, I always wanted to be a garbage man because I thought it was always cool that they got to run and jump up on the truck. And actually, I see a garbage man doing that. I saw one the other day, he almost got left, and he had to run real fast and jump real high. I was like, oh, yeah. That's awesome. One day I'm just going to get brave and I'm just going to run after the garbage truck and jump on it. Just go for a ride. We get caught up in these things that we think are who our identity, and we let the world and people pressure us to be something God never created us for. So we're in this world. And there is a distinction between us and the world around us. But it's not about the stuff that we look like, but about the stuff that we carry. Right. Let me ask you today, what are you carrying? What is your identity? Our identity is not of this world here. It's our assignment from heaven. Every one of us have an assignment. Every one of us. And God takes the things that we walk through, some of them self-inflicted, by the way. That's biblical, too. David said, because of my sin or because of my wrong, because of the choices I've made, they walk on the other side of the road to avoid me. Some things that we go through life, some things that happen in our life is simply because we created them. But nevertheless, God still used them to catapult us into our purpose. Because no matter what we do, God never changes our assignment. My assignment didn't change in the days that I was being foolish. My assignment stayed the same. Now, God took those things that I was foolish about, and he uses them for his glory, because he redeems those things, because he hasn't changed his assignment. So he redeems our mistakes and uses them for his glory. That is really awesome, because I'd be in trouble if not. So Philippians 3 says this, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body, and by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." So our citizenship is of heaven, and he awaits our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has transformed our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. Our citizenship is not of this world. We bring something to earth. I just love missions. I love to go on mission trips. How many's ever been on a mission trip? Oh my goodness, we need to do some mission trips. How many wants to go on a mission trip? All right, save your money so the next time I say that, you'll have the money to go. There we go. There's a free mission trip in June. You could go on a mission trip. RFK. So if you want, that's a good point. When you step on those grounds for RFK camp, or you step into a mission field, there's this sense about you that I've come to bring something. I always can just think when I get off the plane, I think, man, I'm bringing something. I'm coming to another country. I'm bringing something here. And it's interesting, especially in third world countries, when you step off the plane and they see Americans, they think they're bringing something. And so that's a two-way deal, because there's a part of them that's ready to receive, and there's a part of me that's ready to give. And so it's the same way, but we're citizens. But I have to have this passport to get into another country. More importantly, I have to have this to get back. This proves my citizenship here that I'm an American citizen. And I open this, and you know, it's funny to me, this book has like a bunch of pages, but they only care about this one. They never look through the back of this book. I've never seen anybody look further than this page. Why this page? Because this page has a very terrible picture of me on it. I must have weighed 500 pounds in this picture. My head looked like a bowling ball. So this is a very, very terrible picture of me, but it has my information on it. And it has this little barcode on it that they slide, and it says that I am a citizen of the U.S. Here's the problem. If our identity becomes this, then we miss it, because really we have a different identity. We have a passport to this earth that God put us on this earth, but we're really citizens of heaven. And he sent us on this earth at this moment in time so that we could bring the very thing that he created us for to earth. So you're not just here coincidentally. Come on, somebody. But you're here to bring the very glory of heaven to earth. So 2 Corinthians says, talking about moving from glory to glory, we can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. We can all draw closer to him with the veil removed from our faces. We're no longer under the law, but we have moved from an external to an internal work of the Holy Spirit. Under the law, we had an external. This certain look that we had to look like and live by under the law. But when we move to the spirit realm, we move to this time and we live now, we move to an infilling of the spirit. We have been transferred from glory to glory, from the old covenant to the new covenant. And now we have full access to God the Father. And now we are moved not by the by the works of man, but by the works of the Holy Spirit. This gives us an authority that you got to get a hold of this and understand this revelation. It gives us a great authority. We no longer live underneath the past, but we are unveiled and we become the mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of our Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured into his image and we move with one brighter level of glory to another. This glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord. We're moving from glory to glory. Let me help you today. Glory to glory, from miracle to miracle, from revival to revival, from purpose to purpose. And listen, so many Christians today live their life and their walk with God is like a roller coaster. They're up today, they're bottomed out tomorrow. They're up today, they're bottomed out tomorrow. They're high, they're low. They're up, they're down. Listen, I do not believe that that's the way God wants us to live. I believe that God wants us to live from glory to glory, from glory to glory, from glory to glory, from glory to glory. But for us to live from glory to glory, we must know who we are. We must know our purpose. We must know why we exist. We must live not trying to live in wonder. It's the wonder that brings us to the bottom, because when we make mistakes, we just give up. We throw in the towel. I remember after our awesome move of God, we was in a revival. The power of God was moving, just a magnificent move of the Spirit. And a person came to me after that week or two of revival. Back in those days, we'd have revival for months. But we had that week or two revival, and he came to me. He said, now I just want you to know, he's one of my leaders. He said, we can't live here. This is not realistic to live here. Something happened in me that day. I was just a young youth pastor, and I was like, whoa, why can't we? Why can't we live here? You're saying, Pastor, you've never walked through times when you were, you know, down and out and things? Yes, I have. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there's a difference between having a bump in the road and throwing in the towel and quitting. The reason we do that is because we haven't decided that I was put on this earth for this purpose and for this reason, and we don't know who we are. And so we just tend to quit in the time of a storm instead of moving from glory to glory, from purpose to purpose, from heavenly things to more heavenly things. Let me just be clear with you. The truth of the matter is that we blame it on all these things going on, but really we just backslide. Some of you don't even believe in backsliding, but listen, the Bible says no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand, but you can get up and walk away. And you walk out of the very purpose of God in your life. It's not sometimes intentional, and sometimes you just don't know who you are. A long time ago, I decided that I was called to do this. And I've been through some tough situations. Now, I could spend about a year telling you all the junk I've been through. Or I can tell you that God's never failed me. Amen. Or I can tell you that even when I was walking through the storm, that he was faithful. Amen. Or I can tell you that his word never went out void. Or I can tell you that his purpose in me has never changed. I am a determining factor in where I go next and what I do next by my decision of knowing who I am. What do I identify with? Am I making any sense to anybody today? So before the worlds were framed, before all of this stuff got started, God had already called me for this time. He had already called me for this season. He had already called me for this region. He not Ooh, that's good. He not only put me on the earth, but he put me in the right place on the earth. Let me just talk into that a little bit. Because sometimes we do what we want to do. We move out of the place that God has us. And I'm talking about the physical location. I did say this last service, so this must be for somebody today. Sometimes we need some staying power. God, I just want some fruit in my life. Let me give you a news break. If you don't have any root, you won't have any fruit. Sometimes you got to put your roots down, and you got to grow where God's planted you. And you have to learn to accept the will of God, not just as like, oh, I've got to accept. No, Lord, I'm thankful for this place that I'm at. I'm thankful for what you're teaching me. I'm thankful that you've put me in this season of life. I'm thankful, God. And you begin to put those roots down, and those roots begin to establish in the ground, and then it produces fruit. The fruit problem is always a root problem. I have never seen an apple tree make oranges. If you see that, call me. I want to go see that tree. That's pretty big. It's the root system. It's the seed that was planted that develops, that produces the fruit on the vine. And God wants you to know who he created you to be. And when you know who he's created you to be, you'll plant that in the ground and it will produce good fruit. Somebody say that's good. Sometimes I know I'm just teaching today. A lot of times we like inspiration, and inspiration's good. I like to be inspired. Sometimes we need impartation, a good word that goes beyond our head into our heart. And so I want to get past your head today and into your heart. I want you to know who you are and who God's called you to be and what your purpose on this earth is and why you're here. Because if you can understand that, there's no stopping you. There is nothing that can hold you back. I'm looking in a room today of a bunch of people that God's called to live in a place of victory, glory to glory, power, might, world changers. I believe in this place today that sometimes it's the moment that we decide. Look, I was living for God a long time before I understood I was a son. This is a silly story, but it's true. I was so trying to identify with the church world around me. This is how it caught you. This is silly, but this is what we do. I was so trying to identify with the church world around me. I was a youth pastor. I was making, $700-$800 a month. And I was wearing a $2,000 suit. Somebody said, that's not even real. But I wanted to be accepted among my circle, so I needed to make sure I had a Hugo Boss on, you know what I mean? Oh, you're not getting it. Because if you're going to be a good preacher, you got to wear a Hugo Boss. And I love my dad. My dad's a prayer warrior. He's a mighty man of God. And sometimes we get caught up in this stuff that ain't God. And we let it be our identity. My dad tells me, he said, son, you need to wear a suit to church. My dad was here today. He'd be wearing a suit. You wear a suit to church. Now, I'm not against people wear a suit to church. If you want to wear a suit to church, knock yourself out. But I'm here all day long, and I'm not wearing a suit. And I just love what I'm wearing. But let me tell you something. This don't identify me either. I was looking around. There's one right there. Well, my dad would have died if we wore shorts to church. My God. He'd have pulled y'all aside and told y'all was going straight to the devil. Because we've identified with everything in this world, and we get caught up in these things that are not God. But it becomes our identity. And that can work on the other side. I can think I got to wear skinny jeans and grow a beard and have a cool shirt to be anointed. And God knows I ain't skinny, so I don't need no skinny jeans. Are you understanding what I'm saying today? We go through these cycles of life where we have these fads and fashions for church, and we miss who we are even in the body of Christ. Oh, Lord. But if we know who we are created to be, we can walk in authority, we can walk in anointing, we can walk in purpose, and we can be world changers. But I got to know who I am. And I just feel like this is so important to the church today. And trust me, I'm not preaching about suits and shorts. I'm preaching about identifying with who God is in our lives. You see, these little ideas that we have really are to separate us from understanding who we really are. That's why the enemy is always about dividing things. You know how many denominations are in the just in the U.S. today? Just in the U.S. I don't know the number now, but I know that 20 years ago when I studied this, there were thousands of different denominations just in the U.S. The Pentecostals had 100 different brands, and the Baptists had 100 different brands, and the Methodists have 100 different brands, and the Episcopalians and the Methodists and the da-da-da-da-da. Let me tell you something. We can have all of those labels and still not identify that we're brothers and sisters in the Lord, and that what God has called us to do and our purpose has something far greater than our badge. Am I making any sense today? Am I making any sense? And so here's what I want us to do. I want us to walk out of this place today knowing who our daddy is, knowing what I'm called to do, knowing my purpose in the kingdom. What I do tomorrow on my job can't become my identity. But what I do on my job while I'm doing my job is my identity. And I've called to change the world around me, and to and heaven, and heaven is my citizenship is in heaven, and he's placed me here for this season, for this time, to change the world. To change the world. Heather, you can come. Glory to glory. Put this passport in my pocket. I'm going to need this in a few days. But I need to put something in my heart that's my passport. Something in my spirit that's my passport. Something in my walk that's my passport. Heavenly things. Heavenly things. Created for this time. If you're here this morning and you're just in that place where you just church is something you do on the weekend, I want to encourage you to change that mentality. That it's not something we do, but it's something we are. A few weeks ago, we had one, and I just really feel like there was a release of evangelism, and I don't know why I'm saying this today, but maybe our evangelists are in the room today. But there was a release of evangelism. I believe there's never been a greater time for us to walk in that anointing. And here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want you to get the boldness of the Holy Spirit upon you to just know who you are and walk up to people that you've never seen before, that you've never spoken to before. And tell them about God. To heal the sick. I was driving to our men's meeting the other morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. I pulled up beside a guy at a red light, and he had his window down. And I just looked over him. I rolled my window down, and when I rolled my window down, he went. Like, what's he finna say to me? I said, "Hey, man, how you doing?" "Good." I said, "I just want to tell you something. God loves you, and he wants you to have a blessed day." That guy's whole demeanor changed. He said, "I'm late for work, and I was already worried." He said, "I need God to bless me." "Bless you, man." I took off. The light turned and I took off. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? But if we don't tell them, how will they ever know? If we don't live, how will they ever know? If we don't walk in this, how will they ever know? God's called us to this time, to this season, to right now. To be world changers. I did not end the last service like this, so I know God's speaking to this somebody today. It's a transformational time to walk in the supernatural and to live in who and what we're called to be. It's that season. It's that time to be who God's called you to be. Let's stand.